episode of
You Didn't Ask
with Frankie
and Tish.
The year is 1884. You could hear sounds of hammering in the distance.
Okay, so we are at the Winchester Mystery House, guys. If you don't know the Winchester Mystery House, it is a local to the Bay Area phenomenon.
Yes.
Like, I don't... It's
a historical landmark.
For sure. So, I'm sure you've heard of the Winchester repeating rifle. And Sarah Winchester was married to... what was his name? I want to say William Wirt, but I don't know if that's right. I'll have to check my history. I'll edit it in and fix it if it's not. To William Wirt Winchester. I just made that name up. Let's see how good I am. And he invented the rifle. And it was... They claimed it to be the gun that won the West.
Yes. It was very... It's still very popular.
It was rifle innovative at the time, too.
Right.
So...
Countless lives were lost.
Right. He passed. And his wife, Sarah Winchester, was left with all of the fortunes from the rifle and came out to San Jose and bought a humble little farmhouse and started building and never stopped.
Yep.
And everyone has their theories about Sarah, why she started building, like, if she was crazy, if, you know, she believed that ghosts were telling her to build and never stop. And no matter what you believe, the house is incredible. It has over 160 rooms, I believe. I don't think I've been in every one. So I've born and raised and grew up in this area, and I've been to the Winchester House more times than I can count.
In fairness, the tour doesn't take you to every single
room. But, I mean, they have different tours that, like, they open up and have opened up so you can visit. I mean, like, I think it was in the last year that I had been into, like, what's it called? The Witch's Cap or something for the first time in, like, the million times that I've been here. And I know they've started a new, like, spirit tour. And, I mean, there's just so much to see. There's a lot of damage done to the house due to the 1906 earthquake that still hasn't been repaired. So
yeah, there's, like, leveled floors.
Right. So, well, it lost the first, what is it? There were 7 stories originally. And what are we at now? 3 or 4? I'm trying to look. I can't.
We have 3, but, like, the third is, like, very small.
So the top story is knocked down in the 1906 earthquake, and obviously, like, but what's left is still gigantic, massive. There's and there's interesting architectural.
I think what you're saying.
I want to, like, say anomalies.
Yeah, it's
well, not, like, only that, but, like, what I'm trying to say is she built. She started building onto a farmhouse, and it almost can seem like there was no architectural knowledge, but she was a huge fan of architecture. So what exactly it was that she was trying to do, like, I'm not quite sure, but there's stairs that lead to nowhere. There's doors that lead to nowhere. Like, the door to nowhere, you open it up and it's like a, what, 3-story drop to the ground below you. There's windows in the floors. Like, there's cabinets that are 2 inches deep.
And she has a fascination with the number 13, and she has spiderweb windows. Like,
right, yeah. So throughout the house, you see that pattern of 13.
Goth.
Plus, yes. Plus, she was also a fan of the daisy, which has 13 petals. So there's daisies throughout the house. I mean, just for the history alone, it's worth walking through. But then you add in the creep factor, the fact that she had her own seance room and where she went to every single night by herself. No one ever saw what she did in there or what spirit she may have made contact with. But there's one way in and then a secret way out. It's just, there's so much. I could go on and on and on. I've been so many times that I could be a tour guide. I've probably said this before on an episode. Like, I can't even, there's never a time that I turn down going. If someone invites me, I'm like, yep, all in. I'm just so fascinated because every single time you learn something new, when you have a different tour guide, the tour's new, plus they change the script. So you learn more stuff every time you go. I still remember the old scripts. So it's funny when I go with people, I end up telling them, oh, and did you know, by the way, all the stuff that the new tour guide's not, I mean, this place is just so fun to go to. I highly recommend it. You could even take your kids.
Yeah. It's a family fun thing.
You could take your fish.
Well, I don't know about that.
So we're here, and then cool enough to be here, cool enough to be on the grounds, paying our respects to Sarah. But we're also here for the Menagerie Oddities Market. So we are in day 2. We wanted to do a podcast yesterday. However, it
we had a monsoon. Rained.
Yeah.
Basically.
Like, to say it rained is an understatement.
Think 2 inches of water and like splooshing and splashing
right.
all day. Like,
we couldn't take the risk to our podcast equipment, so we had to pack it up and we couldn't do the podcast yesterday, so we're doing it today. But it's over 50 vendors. And some of them I haven't even seen before, and we've been traveling with the menagerie, so it's so cool because we go to these events and we're like, oh wow, like, you know, and the vendors that we do see always like produce something new for the big event. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're seeing something new too. We get to see our friends, we get to make new friends, and they're always so fun and entertaining. There's a stilt walker, there's, you know, acrobatics and circus performers.
Anything that pretty much that you can imagine as with oddities, and anything that would be macabre and cool and stuff that we like.
Right. And there's kettle corn.
Yeah.
That sells me on anything. Yes. Kettle corn and capes. And I'm there.
Yes. So I recently just had my son try on my cape, and he immediately fell in love with it. Yeah. Cloak, cape. He immediately fell in love with it. So the only thing, he's like, I need a shorter one. He's like, this one's too long for me.
No, I actually kind of like the way that the long one looked
it
on him, though.
Amazing.
It looked so cool.
But as like, far as practicality walking around
he
the
looked
house,
like an emperor or yeah. something. Like, he looked really good in it.
And then he asked, he's like,
but it's a
me.
Tripping hazard.
Yes, this is what it is, tripping hazard. So he's like, is it a shorter one? And so what I did is I got him a shorter one today from Raven Fox Capes. It's amazing.
Yee.
I can't wait to get him.
He's going to be so excited when he gets it, too.
Yeah, and I told Karen from...
I got getting waved at by Phoenix.
There was a pop-up.
I know, a pop-up, our friend.
But I had told...
stickers are free, yeah, and everything in the tray over here. So the worry dolls, the fortune-telling fish, and those stickers are free as
yes.
well. And, of course, the candy. You guys know we do these podcasts at the event, so we end up talking to customers, and people pop in all the time.
Say hello.
Yeah. Hello. Go ahead.
So what I told Karen was I'm going to record him, like, running around the house because he already made, like, his own weapon to go with his, like, long cape.
Thank you.
So, and then he's asking me all these questions about reapers and stuff. So he's so interested. And like, so it's like a little research thing that we can do together. It's kind of cute.
That's adorable. And he's going to look awesome in it. And he's going to be so excited.
Yeah.
And I love that for
yes.
him. Yes. I love that story for him. Everyone needs a cape, a cloak, something hooded to just run around in.
Whether it is like you're going like the whole, you know, Grim Reaper avenue, or, you know, you wanted to do like some Hobbit or
Fairy or
Star
yeah.
Wars. Whatever.
Right.
Get your cloak.
There's a cloak for every reason. There's
and they
a
have
cloak
pockets.
For every season.
They're
yes.
High quality.
Exactly.
Love them.
That makes me so happy. I get so many comments on my cloak, too. And then I tell people, and it has pockets. And then everyone freaks out and then runs and wants to go get one because they're amazing.
Because that's what we're always missing from our outfits, our pockets.
I know. I don't want to carry a purse all the time, too. So it's just so convenient. I love it. I love, 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 love pockets. It's like the selling point to every outfit.
So if you guys are interested in that story and basically getting a sneak peek of that, like, you can follow our Instagram or TikTok, and we'll be posting that pretty soon so you can see the results of a happy child in a cape.
Frolicking in his in his cloak. So going back to the Winchester, we've had so many people ask us questions over the last couple days because there's like this, so many people say, oh my gosh, the Winchester is haunted. It's haunted. It's haunted. And then so many people say it is not haunted. There's nothing going on. I get no feeling from the house. There've been ghost hunters that come in here and they don't pick up anything. And they're like, what do you think? Is the house haunted? And it's interesting. Automatically, when I hear the word haunted, I imagine like one of those like sheet ghosts in an attic with chains just like clinging and like banging onto things. Like,
it may be like what somebody's version of what haunted is what they've seen in a movie or what they've like experienced, like, which is like way more dramatic.
No, that's free.
Yeah.
They're free. Yeah.
Yes.
We're a podcast, so we promote a lot of stuff. So the worry dolls, the fortune-telling fish, and the stickers are free, as well as the candy. Absolutely, yes, you may. So, yeah, it's kind of hard to, like... I think what, like... their expectations are is when someone says something haunted is that it's totally obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely obvious. You hear things all the time. You see things all the time. And it's not the case in every location that has energies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the energy here is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say like afraid. It's just like they're unbothered.
Yeah.
There's so many people going in and out of this. Yeah.
They're
coming in and out of this space.
Life,
yeah, and they're just like used to it, and it seems like very unbothered. It to me, it seems more like there were so many people that she housed and gave jobs to. Thank you. And so I just feel like if they lived here and had such a great experience, like they just didn't leave. So sorry, you guys. We had to stop recording. We were getting happily so interrupted.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound upset about it because we were extremely thrilled, but
as soon as like, you know, people know the mic's on, they start flooding the tent, and like we were like having a monsoon of a different kind that
yeah day two there was no rain, but it was raining people.
We tried, and like we were so distracted and had to keep switching gears, and we eventually paused, and we are here
then
to
didn't come back. Yeah, yes. So we had to wait till we were by ourselves in order to finish this one, which was a really good thing. Like, it was a very
I feel like I can excellent, say whatever I want to say when no
it was
one's around.
But it was an excellent event. So, I mean, us being unable to podcast just, you know,
yeah,
shows how awesome it was. Yeah.
We had a lot of awesome conversations, and some probably, excuse me, some probably that wouldn't have happened had our podcast gear been on and people
right. People were coming all day and saying, "Have you recorded yet? Have you recorded yet? Are you going to record?" They're and like, then as soon as we started recording, people started flocking around. Yeah,
they're like, "Or oh my god, am I being recorded right now?" Like freaking out because they see the mics.
Yeah, no, we
your
no.
friends now.
You
no.
can tell. You can
that
tell
you're
when
into the dark side.
Well, you can tell when we're recording as like we're just sitting there staring at you, and we have our headset on, and we haven't recorded yet. Versus like we're talking about something and we're not talking to you.
Right.
You could kind of tell that we're recording.
We need a little light that we says can put recording on, now, like on air.
We have that one that's outside of our recording room. We should just take it with us when we do events and just
that's fun. Yeah, that would be
have
perfect.
It say on air. Or recording or whatever.
I mean, we're recording. Shut the fuck up. No,
hush your mouth. No, we like it when people talk to us and record. I mean, if we didn't allow that, we wouldn't have had our Santa experience, right? That
was, right.
We love it. Like, we love it. We love hearing people's stories.
I thought as like experience, like as being a teacher, growing up with my family, just my life in general, that I would have met everybody that possibly could like exist. And their types of stories and their types of interactions. I just found through doing this, we're meeting all sorts of different types of people that I wouldn't have never imagined of meeting.
Right. Totally.
Like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I met him.
Right. We actually met
He was like
Santa.
3 feet from where we were.
We knew it was the real Santa because he didn't smell like beef and cheese.
And he had that little glisten in his eye.
Yes. He did have a glisten in his eye. And I couldn't stop staring at it as it twinkled. It looked like snowflakes.
And he got all fumbled on his words. And he's like, "This is the first time this ever happened to me." And it was because we were staring at you,
I know.
Santa.
We were like, "Because this is the first time this has ever happened to us."
We're all intense.
So where was I? Oh, so when I was ending the last one, I was saying, you know, I don't feel anything evil, basically, mm-hmm. in the Winchester house at all. And sorry, that was like a whole huge total switch of gears, but I did want to address and finish that since we interrupted it.
You did mention, like, in conversation that you felt like Sarah was bringing, or the possibility of Sarah bringing more energy or something with her.
Well, yeah, if she has a seance every single day and she's in that room by herself for mm-hmm. hours, it's like, I kind of feel like whoever was there or whoever she was talking to at the time were already in existence. And obviously she wasn't afraid because she continued to do it every night. And then right. I think that she also brought in other energies and it kind of became like a safe haven. Like I said, she didn't have, people didn't complain about being under her employ.
Right.
She paid her, they worked around the clock. She paid them well. She treated them well. Some lived on the property with their whole families and they like grew up in that house or for the, you know, right. years that it was like, being made.
It shows all like intention too, like what type of person that she was. But like even in that time period where like, I don't want to say that it was like brand new to like trying to do seances and stuff like that. she clearly had some...
It was a part of popular culture at the time, for sure. Like, people had an interest in it. Right. It was a little more, I guess, taboo than it is now.
Right. And, like, she clearly had some, like, fundamental understanding of, like, what to do and what not to do. Because you don't hear about anything horrific or any intensity or any part of, like, the lore behind her and the Winchester being dangerous or off.
People did think that she was super creepy and odd. And I know that, like, the whole story of the Winchester Mansion and of Sarah herself is presented in this, like, really creepy way. And I know it's because it sells tickets. Mm-hmm. People are drawn to that.
Right.
And so people make their assumptions about it. But having gone 100 times or more and just reading the story and researching about her, because I've always been interested, I don't feel that she was any of the ways that she's being presented. She was a highly intelligent woman.
Yeah, I think
she
too.
Just, and she happened upon a fortune. You know what I mean? Like, her husband invented this gun that ended up, like they said, called Winning the West. And it was huge. They made such a huge amount of money from it. And then he passed. And then now she has all this money. So it wasn't like she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth and, you know, or maybe she was. I actually don't know if she was rich before.
But they had
a huge fortune. But she never, you could tell, like, she never lost her core self. And she was super smart and super giving. And super kind. And also, who knows the real reason of why she had those seances. Like, lots of things are assumed.
Or
like, stories are told.
She was
compelled
to do the things that she did. Maybe she did open up something. Maybe she did have more things going on. I'm thinking with the knowledge that we have and the things that we have discovered, like... There was also another, like, thing, too.
Maybe she was building a safe haven for spirits that hadn't passed or couldn't pass, to be honest. Just kept building and building, you know, creating space.
She opened a portal for sure, like, you know, in what she was doing. And another thing, too, like, the way she was portrayed, like, I think that's, like, what attracted me, like, in the first place to the Winchester Mystery House and all, like, being creepy and having this legend about this lady who did something that was supposed to be taboo. And I'm like, I'm about that.
If you live in the Bay Area or the very, very South Bay to the North Bay and you're driving down the 101, you see the billboards, and they've been there since as long as I can remember. Like, I remember being a little girl and seeing them, and the way it's portrayed even in the billboards is like a skeleton. And
or I think haunted house.
With a haunted house. And I think there's like two... like shotguns crossing, almost like a skull and crossbones. So they definitely present it as like this, almost it seems like by the billboards, like it's a house of horrors.
Right.
You know, like
something very macabre.
Right.
Like, then if you're attracted to that, or if you're just even interested in something out there, that's definitely worth seeing. And I think what we're going like with like the seance room, like they really, like I would have wanted more time, more story about that.
I would have loved to have been able to do a seance in the seance room.
Yes.
That's like my dream.
If it's a ghost hunt, the Winchester Mystery House. I know you guys are listening, so.
We know you allow people to ghost hunt in the Winchester Mystery
House. You guys
know
us.
We would love the opportunity. Yes. We would love the chance to be given up to be able to.
Or at least, you know, if you just want to hire us.
Or let us even ghost hunt in the carriage house.
Yeah,
like any part of it.
Any part of it, you know, or like. You guys just hire us part-time, and we can initiate that. We could run that for you.
We don't have to film it if that's what you're worried about. It could be strictly audio.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, the thing
is... just to have the experience and talk about it after.
Right.
We're okay with that, too.
Yes. Yes. I like being on the grounds, period, and we have tons to talk about.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But, and I think, too, often about... I don't know if, sorry for the spoiler alerts, if you were expecting to go on the tour and get all this information from the tour guide, but.
Well, again, every single time is different, so.
Yeah, it is. But I believe that her heart is revealed just in this story. When she died, everybody assumed that she was hiding her fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, you know, she's got to have a safe in here. And they searched for the safe and they found it. And when they found it, I believe it was a safe within a safe within a safe, if I remember right, in the walls. Definitely in the walls. But they opened it, and when they got into the interior, it was, I believe, a lock of her daughter's hair that she had had with William, her only daughter, and she had passed away. And I believe his, like, obituary or his will or something like that. So the things that mattered to her most, that she protected the most, was her family. Like, it was her love.
And that's kind of interesting that she felt like that had to be protected in multiple safes, when knowing what it was would not be, like, any kind of, like, tangible or monetary, like...
My mind goes off so much here. I think things like maybe, you know, the spirits that she contacted said, you know...
Or maybe
you want to hold them safe, put this here, or who knows, or but whatever it is, that's what she,
that them, memory yes. from them.
Whatever else, yeah.
So it makes me think, too, like...
Exactly.
Things that could happen when you're doing something by yourself in a sand. I'm assuming she did a lot of stuff by herself, which, like, what we know now, it would not be the safest thing to do.
Oh, alone? No.
Right. Not so, alone. Let's just assume that she did it on occasion, and then there was something in there telling her that she needs to do that, or she starts seeing some prophetic type of thing, or having dreams like that, or something else is changing. It makes you think twice about all the stories you have about her building and building and building, and what the purpose of that was. For me, just like it goes on in like a deeper level of like mystery and wonder.
Well, there's so many, because nobody knows for sure. So there's so many assumptions. There's so many stories.
She didn't have a journal and put.
Some like, people said, "Oh, she just wasn't a great architect, so she kept building and building. She wasn't actually there physically building herself. She was telling people who knew what to do what to do. So obviously, they're not going to be like, "Hey, Miss Winchester, if we put this here, this window is going to open up to the first floor." You know, like she knew that.
And it makes me wonder, like, too, with, like, the things that are open and the windows are down and the stairs that go to nowhere, was it something that she was also trying to protect herself from, that, like, a maze that some people cannot find their way through? Or spirits that, if she wanted to
trying to
hide,
block them, they would chase up the stairs and hit a wall, or I don't know. There can be the possibilities are limitless. I guess, you know what we should do? I would love to, well, I'm thinking that maybe we can try to make contact with her. That would be fun. Like, in the parking lot, if they don't let us in.
We'll bend the rules. We can be, I think it still works that far away.
We could sit right out front of her main gates.
With a spirit box and try to contact her.
Yeah.
Actually sounds like a good idea. Maybe we should go right now.
Okay, that's it, you guys.
Bye.
I'm not saying to expect it, but it's just thoughts. It's food for thought. I mean, I think it would be really cool. I know, like, this is something else, too, because I've seen, you know, different YouTubers and stuff ghost hunt in the location. And they don't really ever get too much. And this was something, too. I believe it was Houdini or someone who had gone and came back and kind of wouldn't say either way if it was haunted or not, but well, didn't have experiences.
He was a magician. And he's like, going back off of my high school report that I did on him, where I made one of my cats jump out of a box. And doing research about, like, he was all about the show. I don't know if he may have been into it, but maybe he didn't get anything to really report on. Maybe he did. And what he's seen, he's just like, nope.
Well, I think he had a huge respect for Sarah Winchester, too. So who knows what the reasoning is there. But basically, no one really ever gets anything. And I think, and I could just be talking shit, because what do I know? Like, we're amateurs as well. But I think it depends on your approach.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to have a more, like, because I don't think that Sarah is creepy, and I don't think that her story is creepy, and I don't think that it was intended to be creepy. And I think that's why
like I we were saying previously, like whatever spirit she brought there, whoever was there, may have kind of been like
coming from a place of love.
Yeah, it could have been. So they're not going to come out and be like, get the fuck out, or you know what I mean?
The whole
Sleeve.
The whole time that we were there too, like the windows, and like, I kept feeling like we were being watched, and I took a picture of the window. And somebody in the picture has a halo around their head, and I checked the other pictures I have of them. There's no halo. And I was like, my camera is pretty good. I think it's like some weird anomaly. But I was like, there's definitely something there. It may not be her.
No, I don't know if it is her. But I just think that whoever is there is okay. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they need to move on, but it's not like creepy. Like they're not trying to...
Or maybe that was, like you were saying, it was a safe haven and it's the only place that they feel safe and they have no intention of leaving because it's like a good place.
Right.
Because you don't get any weird like vibes or anything. Well,
any story that I've ever heard of anyone that's actually seen or felt anything, it hasn't been like bad. It was just like, I got scared because I saw something, but it wasn't like, oh my God, I was so freaked out and it felt evil or it was dark or it chased me or it had red eyes or black eyes or it said anything. It was just like they were just working.
Mm-hmm.
They were pushing their wheelbarrow. They were, you know, like doing what they did every day.
They were just taking care of the place because the place takes care of them.
Yeah.
And they get to people watch and have experiences. And because there's so many people at the event too, I felt like they were watching for the windows. Not necessarily us, but just watching everything
that's
happening.
I can say that it does come more alive at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if the energy, I don't want to say it's totally different. It's just more apparent, more prominent, but still not huge, not big. It's more of just like you're aware that someone's there watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turn to look and you don't see anyone, it's aware that you are aware of it.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't try to approach. It just is minding its own business.
Yeah. It's like when you catch somebody like looking at you across the room or something, you make that brief eye contact before you go about your own business type of thing.
Yeah. You don't get up and be like, why are you looking at me? Well, some people do, but not us. It just was like, it's there. But it's the energy feels good. I don't think I would have gone as many times as I have gone if the energy was bad. If it was scary, so.
Yeah, because it became like one of those cool things to just go visit. And
I'm sorry to disappoint anyone that was hoping for rattling chains and everything. Hey, it's not like that.
When we do our experimentation with a spirit box, we may have a very, very different experience. So if you're looking for that, stay tuned. That's all I can say.
Well, or if just the thought of the existence of the paranormal freaks you out, then I guess you would be terrified, you know?
But stay tuned, because you may find that it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and I think it's not.
I don't anymore. I'm not, like I said, maybe I should be, but I think
you feel the way that you feel just because of the experiences you have. So be careful of what you say and put out into the world.
And I'm only speaking
because,
my truth.
Because... Right. I'm just saying, we haven't experienced anything more.
Someone else can have a psychotic break from what they see or they experience. You're correct in that. But I'm saying, just as far as me, I feel fear dissipating every single time.
Right, but that's also because we haven't experienced anything horribly, like, I don't even want to say it. I'm not putting it out there. But
no,
our experiences have been somewhat mild.
Right.
In comparison. So I think we feel that way.
My imagination and where my anxiety and imagination can take me, it's also a comparison to that. So I feel like it's not as bad as I thought. Or, you know,
well,
what I mean?
Like with anything, the anticipation is usually worse than that, whatever the outcome is. So you freak yourself out and you get yourself all psyched up and then you're like, oh, that was it. You know, like the first time I got a tattoo or when I got my lip pierced, or you get all scared, or even getting your blood drawn, you know, something simple, and you totally creep yourself out. And then you're like, oh, it wasn't that big of a deal. And I just think that that's the space that we're living in right now. But who knows what the future holds? I mean, we have plans, like, you know, I've said before, for this year to be going into a little bit more spooky places and that sort of stuff. So who knows where this year will lead? I do know that this year is supposed to be somewhat of a lucky year, it being 2023, which equals up to 7. So it's the year of 7s. And
that's funny that you mentioned that. And I don't remember the exact story, but it was like a 777.
Well, seven is supposed to be like one of the higher, like heaven type vibrating numbers. Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. The thing I was like a video I was looking at, and it said 777 is a very strong number for 2023, and it had to do with something that's going to happen very soon. 777.
Well, I've heard it said, and I'm kind of like hesitant to believe in that kind of stuff too. But I've heard it said that the number six is a little more difficult to work with. And I believe it because six, when it's repeated, I know everyone thinks that 666 is the sign of the devil and, you know, teach his own whatever you believe. But I believe in like angel numbers and numerology. And I know like sixes being more tied into the universe. So I kind of feel like, you know, repeating sixes, if you're an empath, that could be very difficult for you, because if you're tied into everything, then that means that you're receiving all energy too. Mm-hmm. And being an empath, coincidentally, 2022 was a very difficult year. And as soon as the clock struck midnight in 2023, I felt this like cool gust of wind. And I feel like there's potential for so much for everyone in this year. So I'm hoping, I'm putting that out there for everybody. I know this took a turn, but.
Well, they're saying like the actual like calendar year for like 2023 is actually for most people is going to be in March, because it's when the full alignment is for like everyone.
I feel like July 7th will be a good one. July 7th, 2023, because 2-2-3 is 7. So it'll be 7-7-7 on July 7th. I'm curious to know. See if my prediction is correct, you guys. We'll go back. Yeah, let's save that one, because I think we're going to end up seeing some things that we're going to want to talk about more when it comes to that. We kind of just wanted to end out the Winchester episode. And I think also take the time to kind of really appreciate the year that we have had.
Mm-hmm. It's been a hell of a year.
It has been an incredible year. It has been a very difficult year. Yes. But it's also had a lot of great things, from us being able to tour the Scream House and do all the traveling that we've done, meet new friends, make great connections, right, and have experiences we otherwise probably wouldn't have been able to have. It is now, in case you haven't figured it out, it's been a long space of time between the Winchester, and now we are in the new year.
So this is what I meant by acknowledgement.
Yes, we are in the new year, and I know that the menagerie has, like, some pretty fucking fire things coming up in the works. If you guys don't already follow them, make sure that you're following them on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, follow their website. You'll be able to get dates and tickets for events. I know that the World Goth Day is already like in the books. And
yeah, if you're having trouble finding them directly, you can go through our social media, youdidn'task13.com, or connect with us through Instagram or TikTok or Facebook. And we always have connections there.
Thank you so much to our loyal listeners, mm-hmm, and to our new listeners. Thank you for coming and seeing us out at events and coming to say hi, sharing your stories, telling us that you love our show. It's such a great thing, and it's so odd to have us quoted back to us.
Or for someone to recognize. It's fun,
yeah. Like, to know which one of us is Frankie and which one of us is Tish, and it's just really cool. So thanks for coming up, talking to us, taking pictures with us. I mean, we really do appreciate it. It's fun. I mean, we're sitting here in a closed room recording all the time when we're not out at events, and we don't get to see, you know, the people that we're talking to, like, in this moment, but to be able to
go. It's a room and two microphones and us just, like, talking to each other, and we forget that it's out in the world and that people do recognize us and do listen to us, and it's so, I don't know, not jarring.
Surreal?
Yeah, it's surreal. It's interesting, I guess.
But it's also something that, like, keeps us going, because we realize that you guys are listening and appreciate and I guess just one last thing. I should have probably said all this at the beginning, but it's fine. That we apologize for kind of being MIA for a little bit. We took a little bit of a sabbatical. Like I said, there have been some things that have caused us to have a super rough year.
There's other things that's going on.
A lot of personal stuff that it's just been a crazy year. But I also feel like this year was, all the turmoil and the trauma and whatever else that was going on for everyone this year was kind of like leading into what I believe is going to be a fabulous year. So, yeah,
and we were all also feeling like,
we're ready for change.
Yeah. We've been chugging at this stuff for a really long time and we need breaks too. So when we take them, not to be unapologetic about it, it just like, we need them when we need them. And we like,
it's yeah, just, we're human. Right. We're human. And
so, a week here, we didn't intend to be gone as long as we were, but it was a much needed break so that we can start anew.
Yeah. So we could, regenerate, energize, and come back with the best stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
So I guess I've been saying thank you long enough. But thank you guys so much. And remember to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook,
Our website.
Yeah. YouTube. We keep saying we're going to load stuff up. And I think that.
No, we will.
Because we are past all the crap that we were dealing with. It should be a lot easier now. And we'll try to not fall off without giving you guys a warning. So please continue to listen, stay tuned, and remember, if you're going to be paranormally active,
always use protection.
You said it so
sexual charged. No, that wasn't. No, it
was sexually like- charged. If that's how you get sexually charged, dude, you're just like, always use protection. Always use protection. Like, you guys should know this by now. It's true. You should know this. You know how many ghost hunters I see go into buildings that don't protect themselves in any way whatsoever? So remember, if you're gonna be paranormally active,
always use protection.